Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest with a very special message. You're going to love it. His name is Rico Cavaglia, and he is the creator of the Ageless Living Lifestyle. And if you want to live to 125, Rico has the way. So welcome, Rico.
Thank you, Hillary. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So I was looking at your book, and makes a lot of sense. How have you found, I know that, you know, a lot of times we have great ideas that can really make a difference for people, and somehow they're just not open, you know, that, or they cling to what they already know, and this is the way, and I take my prescriptions and that's it, and I have my diseases and that's the best I can do. So yeah. How do you counteract that? I mean, how are most people that you talk to open or not open, or how does that, how does someone?
Like, well, I think most people are open, but they still don't get it that they can actually do it. I think a lot of people, you know, when it comes to any kind of a wellness program, whether it's, you know, healthy eating or exercise or whatever, everybody knows, you know, it's no secret that all the benefits, and everybody knows they want to be in better shape and have more energy and look and feel better and all those things. But they just either feel like they're too busy, or that's the worst excuse. I don't have time. And then the other excuse is they probably think, well, I don't know if I can do it. So here's the thing, what I like to let people know about, you know, if you, as you know, and I'm sure our audience knows, our beliefs and our thoughts and our words create our reality, right? And so if you buy into that mainstream narrative that that's just the way it is, we're all going to get old and sick and maybe die in our, you know, the average lifespan now is only about 76. So if you buy into that, that's just the way it is, we're going to get old and maybe even end up in a nursing home and die in our 70s, well, that's pretty much what you're going to create in your life. So it's really about a mindset shift. It's really about a mindset shift to realize, because science has now told it, as you mentioned already, that our genetic potential is to stay healthy to 125 at least. So that means our lifespan could be 125. But as we said, our life expectancy is only about 76. So there's something wrong with this picture. And science also now knows that our genes only play a very small percentage, maybe 10-15% of how healthy we're going to be and how long we're going to live. So we know what the answer is. It's our unhealthy lifestyles. And that's good news, right? Because if it's your lifestyle, you can change your lifestyle and you can create a healthier lifestyle. So when I found this out way back in the year 2000, and I have a little story here too, what really got me motivated.
Yeah, please. Can you tell?
Yeah. You know, I became a personal trainer with a friend of mine in way back in 1982 in San Diego, here in San Diego. And we opened up the very first modern personal training studio where we actually, you know, also, you know, gave nutritional counseling and really evaluated people. And then we learned about, you know, psychology and the mindset thing and all those sort of things. And so, but then what happened just a few years after that, my father died of lung cancer. And here's the thing. My father was really a healthy person. He was the kind of guy that, you know, never went to see a doctor, never got physicals and all that. He was always just really healthy. But he grew up in the...
Did he smoke?
Exactly. Exactly right. Oh. You're smart. You're pretty perceptive.
Because you just said he was healthy. I'm like, wait a second. Did he smoke?
Yeah. He started smoking when he was 11 years old. He was a street kid in Chicago. and you know, came from a big family, lived with his relatives or something. And so he smoked cigarettes for 60 years, and then all of a sudden just caught up with him, and he just died like that. And so what I realized, well, as you know, too, back in those days, when way back in the 40s, I don't know, 50s, people didn't know how bad smoking was for you. And so what I realized, it was education matter, you know. So just like today, so I didn't want that to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to my clients. And so just like today, it's an educational situation where still so many people don't really realize that all this chronic illness and early death is because of their lifestyle. So that's the message that we need to get out to people, that, look, you don't have to accept this way of living. You know, you don't have to. You can change your lifestyle. You can greatly improve your health. And it's my goal to teach people how to, I like to say, how to be bold and never be old. I think here's another interesting thing is, you know, we hear so much about anti-aging all the time, right? But I think that's really the wrong terminology, because you can't stop aging. Aging is a natural process. You know, one year you're 40, then you're 41, you're 42. And actually, the definition of aging means to become fully mature, to reach your full potential, like fine aged wine. So aging is good, but being old, that's another story. See, the definition of old means to be worn out, used up, unexcited about your life, unable to care for yourself. And guess what? Being old is just a state of your mind and a state of your body and how you care for your mind and your body. So I have anti-growing old strategies. In other words, if you learn how to care for your mind, make a positive mind shift, and then learn what you uniquely need to do to stay healthy in both diet and exercise and sleep and all those things and reduce stress, then you learn how to take care of your physical body, and you can stay healthy and energetic, at least a lot better than most people are now today, all of your life. And that's what I'm all about. You know, my chronological age is 82, but I still have a fitness age of 35. So I've proven it, and my clients have proven it as well. So that's
how do you know that you're
a fitness age?
Yeah,
that's kind of an interesting story. Again, way back in, I don't know, somewhere in the 90s, I guess, late 90s, there was a company called Fitness Age. And they had developed these computer programs, you know, where you could plug in, you could take these five basic tests that were actually originally from the YMCA, who used to give these fitness tests to all their people. And they had thousands of people, and by their age, you know, just basic, like a sit and reach for your flexibility, your body fat, how many push-ups and how many sit-ups you could do in a minute, and then a little step test. And they had all this data, but that was before the age of computers. So Fitness Age got all this information from the YMCA, and they put it into a computer thing. So then they could test you. You know, you could do the test again, and then they could compare you to everybody else at your age. And so they could actually give you a fitness age. And the whole thing was, if you come into a health club, a gym, you know, they had a little kiosk with a computer, and they did the test, and they say, well, your actual age is 45, but your fitness age was only 60. You better join our club and get in shape, right?
But
for me, like I say, I have to admit, I mean, obviously, if someone is in really good shape and they're fit at 35, they're going to be a little bit better than I am. But because I've been doing all those things all these years, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, and my body fat's still low and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty easy. But still, it's an indication to show you what's possible.
Wow. So can anyone do it? Can anyone find it? Or no, it's just a special test?
No, you know, they went out of business. They didn't make it. They got overextended in themselves, and they just never got the right fight. They're going to put these kiosks in all the gyms across America. And I don't know, I guess they just got overextended, and they went out of business. Yeah.
Oh, bummer. But yeah, you know what the test is, so you know what your age
is. Yeah, just, well, I mean, the last time I actually did it, they still were online for a while. The last time I did it was, I don't know how long ago, but I can still do all those same things, you know, so.
So what are they? What are the things?
Yeah, I told you, it's just a basic sit and reach. You know, you should be able to sit up straight and be able to how far you can touch your toes. But they have a scale, you know, where you're at. So you should be able to touch your toes. You know, I can still do 50 push-ups in almost a minute. I can do I can do about 50 sit-ups within a minute, and my body fat's still pretty good, probably only about 10%. And then just a little basic 3-minute step test, you know, and then you take your pulse. So it's just basic stuff. But the whole point of it is, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to become as fit as I am. You know, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've been a personal trainer. So that what I would tell people is, you want to match your fitness level and your health level with your lifestyle. You know, if you want to climb mountains and swim in the ocean and ride a bike for 40 miles, you got to train pretty hard and get in pretty good shape. But if you're happy just to play a little golf and play with your grandkids, that's fine too. Whatever suits you. So you need to know, first of all, you know, what's important, how physical active you want to be and what you want to enjoy. And then, you know, we can develop a program that'll get you there, you know, so you don't have to do a boot camp and you don't have to, you know, all that sort of thing. Yeah.
So, I mean, isn't most of this stuff obvious? Like, don't people know this? They might, I'm not saying they do it, but don't they know, like, because I, you know, I was reading your book and it's excellent. It really covers everything, you know, and, but I was thinking, you know, don't people know that they should exercise and don't they know that they should eat right? And I don't know the answer to that. I think maybe there are some that know, maybe some do it, maybe some know and don't do it. Maybe some just don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're eating at McDonald's or they're eating at the fast food places. Like, why? Yeah. Why would anyone eat there? Yeah. Don't they know? Like I saw, well, I got sick at McDonald's. I never went back. That was years ago. But, you know, the Super Size Me movie was like so disgusting. But like, why would people still go? Are they ignorant or do they?
Think it
matters. You know what I mean? Like, why? And I guess we all have habits that we know we should break. Yeah. But anyway, do you have an answer for that?
There's a lot of reasons for that. And you say ignorance just means your lack of knowledge, not really understanding. And there's still a lot of people who don't really understand. So like I said earlier, that's the message we got to get out to people. We got to educate people. If you want to avoid all this chronic illness and being overweight and low energy and aches and pains, then you got to get educated and realize that it is your lifestyle that's primarily causing it. But the good news, you can change your lifestyle. So that's one part of one group of people. And then there's a lot of people who understand that. But again, you know, somehow we got into this rush, busy, you know, society that everybody thinks that our main priority in life is how much money we can make, you know. So we put all this business and things above our health. And the point that people have lost sight of is that our true wealth is our health. If you're not healthy and you don't have good energy, nothing else matters. And people realize that, you know. You know, we have a saying here in the holistic community in San Diego that so many people spend their health building their wealth, and then they have to try and spend their wealth to rebuild their health. That's not a good formula. It doesn't work so well, you know. People have to realize that it is that life. It's this rushed lifestyle, you know, that everybody's so busy. Because that's the biggest excuse for not exercising. Oh, I just don't have time. And the next excuse I mentioned as well, too, a lot of people maybe have tried something in the past and they didn't get real good success. So they don't think they could actually do it. When again, and the reason probably for that is they weren't doing the right things. They weren't probably doing the right thing, again, to suit what their goals really were. And they didn't have the right information and that somebody to train them in the proper way so they would get the results right away. And so it's a combination of all those things. And then the other thing is our technology. Our technology is great. I mean, it's how you and I can be here together and have this fun conversation. But then again, as you know, people, we're somehow human beings are extremists. We always have to go to the extreme, just like, you know, everybody's walking around with their head looking at their cell phone all day long and they can't put it down. You know what? I heard a really good definition of cell phones: weapons of mass distraction. That's so good, isn't it? I mean, obviously, it's good to have a phone.
Great. You can do all that. I'm writing that down. Weapons of mass distraction. Yeah.
I mean, people are so distracted. You know, Hillary, it just blows my mind. Even in the other day, I was in this health club that I go once in a while, and people can't even put down their phone to do that. I mean, they'll be looking at their phone, and then they'll do something, and then they'll go back right on their phone. And the other day, I was in the steam room, and this guy even had his phone in the steam room trying to wipe off the condensation so he could look at it. He couldn't even put his phone down to go in the steam room. I mean, it's just crazy. So people are so distracted with so much stuff that are just nonsense. Most all the social media, I like to call it unsocial media. I think it's mostly unsocial. Again, it has its place. It's nice to share photographs and all that kind of stuff, but it's just out of hand, and people spend their, and it's social is like being together, or you and I having a conversation, not just typing a tweet or something. I mean, to me, that's not social. So we got a lot of things to deal with these days.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I guess part of it, when I was first starting my show, I had three steps. I had awareness. You know, first, if you're not aware that you're addicted to your phone, you're just doing it. First step is awareness. Then acceptance, like, oh, wow, look what I did. But like, just accepting it, like, okay, that's what I did. It's not wrong. That's what I did. And then taking action. But until they're aware, they're just, like you said, they're busy. And it's almost like, you know, the busier you are, you're the cooler. Oh, I am so busy. Well, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. You know, it's like a competition. Who can be the busiest? And I don't know where that came from, that we think that's like a good thing. But again, if you're not aware, I mean, I think during COVID, like, cause I was always rushing, like, you know, I was over planned and over, and during COVID was the first time that I could just like, oh, I don't have to go anywhere. Like, it was great. Do you know what I mean? It was great because the world slowed down. But I think
it happened. That happened for a reason. Everything happens for a reason in the universe. Yeah. And that was a good point. That was a good part of COVID. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So, okay. So now, before we move on to your solutions, like, I know a lot of people who, you know, they have their prescriptions and they go to their doctors, and doctors are great. They've been educated the way they've been educated. But I know in your book, and I kind of go along this way, that I think if you can avoid prescription drugs or drugs in general, that's healthier, because, you know, I've had some people on before that were functional medicine or naturopaths or whatever, you know, talking about the drugs and how they really don't cure you. Maybe exactly. They just mask the systems, but they can do a lot of damage. Now, I believe that, you believe that, but there's so many people that just blindly follow what they're told by the doctors. I mean, what do you say to someone like that to open their eyes?
Well, it's just like weight loss. You know, the weight loss industry is like something like $300 billion a year industry. And so all these weight loss programs and all these weight loss diets and all these pills, if they actually worked long term, we'd be a nation of lean, slim people. So just realize it doesn't work. I mean, and the same thing, the problem is we don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system. Right. In other words, it tries to do something for you when you're already sick. Right. And a real healthcare system would educate people how to prevent all this illness. You know, that's another thing, Hillary, is, you know, they debate in Congress, how are we going to pay for all this healthcare? Well, what we should be debating is how about we prevent it so we don't have to pay for it, right? So that's the real issue. So we have to realize that all the medical system we have, allopathic medical system, which just came in, the American Medical Association and Big Pharma just came in and pushed out all the natural healing methods. You know, and we got it backwards. You know, what we call now alternative medicine, that's natural medicine. That's the things that have been around for centuries, and they know to be helpful, and they help the body to get back in balance where the body can heal itself. But Big Pharma came in, and because it's all about the money, and pushed it aside, so people just bought into it because, again, it's convenient. So we've kind of convenienced ourselves to death. It's easier to, if I get sick, I'll just take some pills and then I'll be okay. And I don't have to watch my diet or take care of myself. So that's, people, I guess, naturally are sort of lazy. It's kind of over-convenienced. And so, but
I have a question about this. I ask a lot of people and nobody has an answer. Like, let's say you're with Big Pharma. Okay. Do you know that you're hurting people? You know what I mean? Do they know that?
Absolutely, they know that. I mean,
let's say I was working with Big Pharma and I know this and I'm doing my job. I'm not the one getting rich by hurting people.
Yeah.
Like, how do they live with themselves?
Well,
are they so caught into, you know, I don't get it. Like, if people know it's not good, it's not helping anything, people are worse. They're not the ones making the profit. Most of the 99% of the workers, who's actually the person who's getting rich?
Well, of course, it's the CEOs and the board of directors and the chairman and the people making all the money, because all they care about is their bottom line and how much money they make for their investors and how much money they make for themselves. But I would say, I can't say for sure or any percentage, but I would say the mass of people that work for initially, they didn't know. It's only been coming out in the last maybe 10, 20 years how bad pharmaceutical drugs and all the side effects and how many people actually have died from all these things. And so some of those people still are not ignorant. You know, they don't pay attention to that sort of thing. And then some of them, maybe they know it's probably not the best, but they're just concerned about their welfare and they don't want to lose their job, so that's why they don't speak up. But there have been a lot of whistleblowers and there's been exposés, investigative reporting who really blew the thing on. And Big Pharma has paid out billions of dollars in lawsuits, but they don't care. Remember that one drug? It was, I forgot what it's called now. It was way maybe 10 years ago. It killed like over 100,000 people. And so they paid a few billion dollars in fines. And so what? But they made billions and billions of dollars off it. They don't care. So that's a sad thing of our society.
What was it for?
I think it was maybe for depression or something like that. It was, remember there's some, I should know the name. I can't think of it right now, but it was a famous drug that everybody was taking. It ended up killing about 100,000 people. And we've just gotten so far off the base, and big corporations, all they care about is their bottom line. They don't care about, the repercussions of what they're putting out into the public, just how
people trust it. Your doctor says, take this. It's like, okay, they're not.
Well, doctors are caught up. I know a lot of doctors and I know some, some good doctors. And there's like in every field, there's some doctors, people who just don't care. They're just in it for themselves. It's always a few of that. But most doctors, initially, they want to help people with their health and they want to serve well and they think that they're doing a good thing. But then as they get into it more and more, they get caught up into the system too. And just like now, the reason that if you go see most medical doctors, you only get about 15 minutes because that's all insurance. The insurance companies will pay for. So they're just into that thing. They got to just go fast, write your prescription. And the drug companies come in and tell them, look, all you have to do this for this symptom here, give them this drug. So they get caught up into it's easy. And they're, and like everybody's concerned about their own welfare too. They got to keep their job and make their money. And so we just got so far off as a society, that we're producing so many things that don't really serve people. And we've lost the whole concept of community, that we should be producing things that benefit everybody. And that if everybody was honest and was here to support everybody else, what an amazing world it could be. But we just got so much into greed and so much distractions that that's where we're at right now. I know.
It's depressing. So, all right. So anything before we go into, how did you learn all this?
Well, like I say, when I really realized what happened to my father, so then I began to just study and learn all I could about what the body really requires to be healthy. And, you know, it's an ongoing thing. You keep on learning. You know, science keeps on we keep learning more about the body and what the body requires and what are all these toxic things that we have in our society, including all these electromagnetic fields and all the chemical toxicity and all these, you know, pesticides and herbicides, and just it's on and on. So it's an ongoing process of realizing, you know, what is causing all these problems and what the best ways that we can do to avoid it and to be as healthy as we possibly can. And so, I mean, the first thing.
Can I ask you a question? How did you learn this? If most of the information, I know the medical schools are owned by Big Pharma, and right. And so where did you learn how do you know what the body requires? Because if you went to medical school, you wouldn't be learning that.
Well, science, no. Well, there's still, you know, science is always coming, you know, science is, you know, like the medical system and Big Pharma, I mean, they rely on some parts of science, but they only rely on the parts that are going to serve them. And they just ignore the science that comes out that says, hey, this is not so healthy for yourself. They kind of ignore that because, again, they're just, you know, the bottom line is how much money they can make. But science is always out there. And there's always been people who innately knew this, you know, just like the ancient people. And there's always been health advocates and lots of books and people out there who knew all of these kind of things and knew what we need to do, you know, to stay healthy as far as nutrition. And again, and then a lot of people just innately understood this, you know, particularly like in indigenous people and just ancient societies, but it's progressively, you know, progress along to our society. So there's never been any lack of information and knowledge of books and things to study. And there's always been a holistic type community and doctors and people who would speak up and know about this kind of stuff. So it's not difficult to learn all this stuff and study all this stuff. And then again,
how do you, like, if you're just a person and there's, you know, some people are into research. I'm not. So I may be asking from an ignorant point of view, but there's so much information about there. You know, the doctors will say, take these drugs. The holistic will, you know, give you the little things. You know, how does one know? I guess I'm asking for myself because I hear a lot of things and I'm, okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. How do you sort through to know which are the ones that are going to hurt you and which are the ones that are going to help you?
Well, unfortunately, even like they call medicine, it's practicing medicine. They call it practicing medicine. You don't really know. Nothing's for certain, you see. And everybody's biochemically unique. So you have to do a little bit of just research on your own and try. It's a little bit of trial and error. You know, just like there's certain foods and herbs that are really healthy for most people, and some people, they could almost kill them, you know, right? So you've got to get, you know, you've got to just, some is a little bit try and error. And, you know, I really recommend that everybody, if you're really serious about your health, you know, consult with a qualified naturopathic doctor or nutritionist or functional medicine doctor that can actually give you the test and to really see what foods are good for you or not good for you, and chemicals and what's going on in your body and what herbs and things and what natural healing methods may work or may not work for you. But it's an ongoing process. If you try something and you get some results, you go, okay. And if you don't, well, maybe that wasn't what I need to do. So yeah, nothing's cut and dried. Hillary, there's some basic truths and some basic things. And that's what I tried to do. Here's what I came up with is I kind of boiled down my whole ageless living lifestyle into what I call learning how to master the seven essentials of life. And the first one we talked a little bit about, that's one of the essentials of life, was we have to use our brain and we have to think and use our mind to see what we're going to do, right? So you have to, again, make that mindset shift. And first of all, believe that you can stay healthy and investigate and learn what you need to learn, okay? And then it's oxygen, right? You know, we can only live a few minutes without it. So we need to learn how to see all these things that we're already doing, these seven essentials of life are things that we're already doing just to stay alive. But we were never taught how to master them, how to do them in a better way. So it's not, so it doesn't take that much more effort. It's just doing the things that we're already doing, but do them in a way that serves you much better. So you got to learn to get how to breathe, do more deep abdominal breathing, you know, take some yoga class, learn how to breathe, get more oxygen into your body. Nothing can improve your health or overall well-being than learning to breathe better. You know, most of the time when we're just standing here, our lungs are just like this. We're just barely breathing at the top of our lungs, but you need to fill up your lungs as much as you can. Do some deep abdominal breathing. And again, there's no lack of knowledge. You can go on YouTube and just find all kinds of videos about how to breathe better. So you got to get more oxygen into your body. That's number one. The second one, you got to stay hydrated. You got to make sure you're drinking enough purified water throughout the day. Stay hydrated. Your body and your brain can't function well. And there's so many different, you know, how much you need to drink. What I just tell people is, look, just keep drinking throughout your day. Keep some purified water with you. And if you actually get thirsty, then you're a little bit dehydrated. Just try not to get thirsty. Just keep drinking throughout your day. Does that make sense?
So when you say purified, because there's so much, you know, there's the plastic bottles that put plastic in you. There's the tap water. What's your definition, or how do people get?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend drinking any tap water anywhere. You've got to get some water that's been filtered and been purified. And you're right; those do not drink out of those little plastic water bottles, especially if they get in the sunlight or heat. That thin little plastic can leak chemicals right into your water. And as you know, those plastic water bottles are one of the biggest pollutants in our oceans and stuff. So we just got to get out of that. So you've got to.
Do you get purified water?
Well, if you can afford, you know, a whole system for your house, that's the ideal. There's so many water products, purified water products on the market. You know, I can't say which ones are better and all that, but there's whole house systems, or there's just countertop systems, or actually what I do now, because I don't have a whole house or a whole system. So I just, you know, here in San Diego, we have this premier water machines that they go through a filter system. They go through light. They have four different things that purifies the water. And I just fill up my big glass jugs of water. And then that's how I get my water, you know. So there's no lack of.
I'm asking this because it's, you know, practical, like. You know, I know not to drink the bottle, but then it's like, okay, I can't find any water. So you have a place in San Diego and you go there and fill it up?
Yeah, they're all over, mostly at the shopping centers or food market. They're big blue machines, the water machines, and you put in your 50 cents and you get a gallon of really good purified water. Yeah.
I don't think we have that here. So it really is,
Or maybe some, you know, also some health foods. Some good, really health food stores and markets had those machines, you know, where you can get purified water there as well. And there's a lot of countertop ones that are, you know, really aren't too expensive, maybe a few $100. You can get some, there's a whole bunch of them out there. Just go on Amazon or something and look for purified water systems, and it's well worth the money. You got to drink pure, healthy water.
But and we're going to have to go to our commercial break, but something like a Brita system, or does that do anything?
Yeah, it does something. I don't know how well it is. Again, you'd have to investigate and, you know, again, just go on these days. That's one good thing. You can go on Google and check out the reports and people say, does this actually do what they say it does or not? So you can go and check all that stuff out. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's a question I've had for a long time. All right. We're going to go to our commercial break, and then we'll be right back with more ways of how to live to 125 with Rico Cavaglia.
Yes.
How did I say it? Good?
Perfect. Good.
All right, good. All right. We'll see you in a minute.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. If you want to bring experiential social emotional learning to your schools, to your teams, to your businesses, go to KikoriApp.com and schedule a consultation with them. They really have something very special, and it can change the world. It can change the world that our children are going to grow up into, and also help the children become more socially connected and emotionally conscious, which is a really great thing. We've been talking about the world we live in, and that's one way that we can elevate the conversation and consciousness of the planet by talking to KikoriApp.com. Okay, and then we have my books that I get to shamelessly promote because it's my show. This was my first one. It is a memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast. If marriage was my dream, why was I numbing myself? So if you find yourself numbing yourself, if maybe you put on some weight or you find yourself doing some bad habits like Rico and I were talking about, read this. It might inspire you. You know, I found myself in a very dark place and I got some freedom, which is what we're talking about, to live the life that I wanted to create instead of the life I thought I was stuck with. And this one, if you find yourself not being able to speak up like me, I was a people pleasing, pleasant phony who just wanted everyone to like me. And it really wasn't the life that empowered me. You can go to realtalkwithhillary.com, set up a time to talk, and we can get you back to empowered and really, you know, maybe put the people pleasing aside so you can create the life you want. And this has really helped me. And it wasn't easy. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it works. And this is my third book, Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. It's how to stop fixing yourself and start having fun. I was always trying to fix myself because I thought there was something wrong with me because I wasn't like my mother, who's perky and peppy. And I was, you know, just sometimes in a bad mood. And I thought that was wrong. So when I stopped fixing myself, I started developing techniques to help others get from that dark side where you think, gee, you know what? If I was only like them, if I was only like that. Instead of doing that, we get to have fun. So get this book. You can find them all on Amazon, and it really can change your world. It certainly changed mine. That's why I wrote the book, so that other people could learn in a second what it took me years to learn. So now we're coming back to our guest, Rico. He's got so many wonderful suggestions. And really, you know, it might seem obvious, but we have resistance to it. You know, we just have resistance because it's like, sounds good, but you know what? I'd rather, you know, go to McDonald's, or I'd rather take my drugs, or I'd rather. So anyway, you were on, let's see, we did number one was oxygen. Number two was water.
Right.
And finding a purification system. And I think that system you have in San Diego would be so great to have here.
Yeah.
Everyone carries around their plastic bottles. Let me ask you, since you know, like in our gym, they have a water thing and you can put your bottle under and it'll fill it up. It's not plastic. But I asked them, I was like, you know, do you guys change the filter on this? And they didn't know. If they don't change the filter, are you getting clean water out of those? You know, they have them at airports now. What do you think?
I don't know. Well, you should definitely get a hold of the management, somebody who knows, and see if that water is filtered or not. Yeah, or it could be just be tap water. I know the gyms here in San Diego, they all have filtered water, but I forgot, where do you live?
In Connecticut.
Okay, well, I would think so, but I would really get a hold of the owners or the main people and say, yeah. Hey, I want to know about this water. Should I be drinking it or not?
Right.
I would think any kind of a gym or health spa would have filtered water. Hopefully.
Yeah. I hope so. Well, I'm going to ask, but we do have a system here. So I've been filling up my non-plastic bottles here and taking them.
Yeah. You want to use glass. Always drink out of glass.
Oh, not like, yeah. What about like a Yeti type?
Yeah. Well, stainless steel glass. And then some of those plastic, you know, like they say it's BP. What is it? BPH free and all that. But yeah. I still would go with either glass or stainless steel. That's for sure the best. That's for the best. Okay. And before we get to the next one, I wanted to say, Hilary, I really like your books. I really like your title of your books.
Particularly
that last one where it says, you know, your bullshit is your blessings.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, all our challenges are blessings. No question. That's why we're here, to be challenged. And when you step up and meet your challenge, then you just elevate your life and everything. Your life gets so much better, and it really is our blessing. And also, I like what you said about having more fun, because that's actually the number one. I have 10 basic anti-growing old strategies, and the last one is to have more fun in your life, to enjoy your life. I have to tell you, this is important too, because many years ago, they did a comprehensive survey of centenarians who lived to be 100 and were still fairly healthy and, you know, they could take care of themselves. And so one of the questions they asked them was, why do you think you lived this long and you're still, you know, you're still fairly functional? You can take care of yourself. And over 90% of them said, because I wasn't stressed out. I enjoyed my life. I had fun. That's the most important. If you ask me, what's the number one best thing you could, you know, if you want to live longer, live to 100, is let go of the stress and the struggle and enjoy your life. Have fun. That'd be the number one thing. Okay.
No, you want to hear something wild? I was having this tarot card reading, and I was like, you know, what should I do? You know, I was starting the show and I was doing all these things, and I was like, you know, I thought they were going to say, you know, work harder. What the person told me was, I said, you know, what should I do? Follow the fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
If it's not fun, don't do it. And so I let go of a bunch of stuff that I thought I should do or had to do, you know, and I let go of them. And, you know, now I just have my show. I do TikToks and I have a newsletter because they're fun and I enjoy them.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, I didn't like promoting my books. I just stopped. You know, I just do it here. It wasn't fun. So I stopped. So anyway, I have a much happier life because I'm doing what's fun. So, I don't know that, again, you know, that people are aware of that, you know, because they're busy and they got to do that, you know, and they, you know, they wouldn't think that having fun was on the list. They got things to do. Do you know what I mean? It's just like we were talking before. Anyway, it's so interesting. So, all right, keep going. Yeah. I'll let you keep going.
You're on that same point too. You know, whenever you're feeling a little frustrated or upset or are you concerned about this or you're worrying, the way to shift it is just let go of that. It's all about, we're all feeling beings. Just go to something that makes you feel good. Just shift your mind to something that makes you feel good, and that's how you can snap out of that, you know, feeling sorry for yourself or feeling a victim. Okay, yeah, I know we don't have that much time left,
and I know.
Okay, so oxygen, your mindset, your oxygen, water, and of course food. You know, here's the thing. Nutrition and food is a very complex situation. It could be a whole week-long workshop. But what I did in my book I wrote way back in the 90s called Real Food, Real Fast, it's how to make healthy fast food. But the key word there is real. If you just make 89% of your food real food, and real food is what's grown in nature. It's organic fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and some healthy whole grains and some healthy animal products. It doesn't come in a box or a can or a package. It doesn't need a label. It's already perfect the way nature made it. So if you just start making the majority of your diet with real food, you'll solve so many nutritional and weight and excess body weight, all those problems. So that's it for food. You can do that. It's not that difficult. Then, of course, exercise or movement. You just got to keep moving your body, you know. You don't have to, you know, somehow exercise became a bad word to so many people. So, again, you don't have to do a boot camp. You don't have to run miles and do all these kind of things. But you just got to do something on a consistent basis. You got to move. You got to get out and do some walking or swimming or ride a bike or whatever that's enjoyable. Every day you need to move your body. And you need to do some basic, you know, strength training. Even if you just do, you know, twice a week, a few push-ups or a few squats or a few. And again, there's no lack of information. It would be good to get a trainer to help you to do the right stuff. But you can just go to YouTube and search what are some good leg exercises or what are some upper body. I mean, it's just tons of information. There's no excuse. So
how long, if someone was going to say, okay, I'm going to go walk, how long would you tell them to walk?
Well, I mean, you might not be able to walk for that long, but at least, you know, at least I'd say 20 minutes, you know, I can go out and do a brisk walk. And a lot of people say, well, I walk my dog. No, that's not going to get it because dog is just stand around, walk, they stop and this. You got to go out there and what's called power walking. You got to go out there and push it a little bit and just build it up. If you haven't been doing anything, just start doing something. Maybe you can only walk at a fairly brisk pace for 5 minutes. That's okay. And then learn how to do some hills. But every day you should get some kind of aerobic activity where you're working on your lungs, getting more oxygen in your body. And every day you need to stretch. You know, a true measure of your age is how good is your posture, how flexible, how well can you move. Mobility is a big thing for aging people. But if you just stretch every day, it won't be a problem. You know, I have videos like that show you how to do basic 7 stretches. Only takes 15 minutes. Again, there's no excuse for not doing some of this stuff. You don't have to become an athlete, but you can just do some basic stuff. So you got to stretch every day, 15 minutes.
Where do they find your videos?
Yeah, they're on my YouTube channel, but basically just go to my main website, agelesslivinglifestyle.com. And first of all, right there at the very top, you can take my aging assessment. It's a free assessment, so you can determine how well are you aging. And if you don't like the results, you can right there. You can book a free call with me, and we'll discuss what health and wellness and fitness challenges you're having, and I'll give you some real good solutions that you can implement it immediately. And then you can check out my. You know, I have some online wellness coaching programs where I coach you. And then, of course, you know, when you work with me, you're definitely going to get you'll be successful. And then again,
agelesslivinglifestyle.com.
Right.
And they can contact you there. They can find your videos. They can find your book. They can find you. That's the best place.
Yeah.
So agelesslivinglifestyle.com. Okay, great. Okay.
That's it.
Keep going.
Okay.
Five more minutes.
Okay. So exercise. And then the next, of course, elimination is important. You got to get rid of the waste products and the toxicity. But if you're doing all these other things, if you're breathing, you're moving, you're drinking water, eating healthy food, doing all these things, you get enough sleep, you shouldn't have any problem with eliminating toxins. And also, you know, one of the biggest way we eliminate toxins is through our skin, from sweating and breathing. So if you're exercising, you'll get that part done as well. And then, of course, it's sleep. Now, here's the thing. One of my main mentors who I learned from, she was a naturopathic doctor. She said, our bodies function best on 12 hours of activity and 12 hours of more inactivity, slow down, relax. That means maybe about 7 to 8 hours of sleep. But then you need some other time to just relax. Again, have fun, enjoy yourself, relax, you know, get rid of the stress and thinking you have to accomplish to do all this kind of stuff. And that's what's going to create good health. You know, so you got to make sure you're getting your sleep and then make sure you're getting your downtime where you're just enjoying your life and listen to music or have a nice conversation or whatever. Do something, do some stretching, yoga, relax. Everybody needs to chill more. No question about that. And then, I think that's just about most of it. And then the last one, is to let go of the stress, you know, let go of the stress and enjoy your life. You know, so sometimes when I speak to groups, I like to ask them, raise your hand if you're having a lot of fun in your life. And a lot of people don't raise their hand. I go, oh my goodness. You know, and some people have gotten so stressed and so caught up into this lifestyle that they don't even know what a lot of fun would be. So that's basically it. It's just learning how to master these seven essential things that you're already doing in your life. It's not that difficult. It doesn't take a lot, that much more time. But the thing to remember, I know you're all about creating freedom in your life. And the biggest reason as people as they age do not have the freedom that they deserve and desire is because they're dealing with all these chronic illness and health challenges and low energy and taking all these medications and going to see the doctors. And that's not creating freedom in your life. So where you can just enjoy yourself and make a, and also to, the other thing I like, that important point I want to make, last thing I want to say is that there's another reason other than a selfish reason to take better care of your health so you can enjoy your life better. It's because I believe that we're all here with a divine purpose. And I think that divine purpose is to learn how to live together as brothers and sisters on this planet. And we need more people as they age because we gain wisdom and knowledge as we age to give back their knowledge and wisdom to help solve these monumental challenges that we're all facing as humanity right now. Right. And also to be mentors and role models for younger people. We're sorely lacking in elder people to be role models and mentors for younger people. And so that's the reason that I like to tell people, that's why you need to take better care of your health so you can live your purpose and make a difference in the world.
Wow.
That's my message. All right. I'm sticking with it.
No, I love it. So let's say, you know, I remember when I had little kids and I was busy and, you know, trying to pay the bills, blah, blah, blah. I don't think I stopped long enough to have fun. And so I would give that message to people who are just too busy that you can have fun with your kids, you know, like the work. If you think, oh, I got to get one more thing done, if you're task oriented, you know, maybe you don't. Yeah. Maybe it's more important, and I could say this now, my kids are grown, but maybe it would have been more important for me to have more fun with my kids.
Absolutely.
You know, and so if you still have them at home and they're growing up, you can do anything fun. You could make cleaning the dishes fun. You could, you know, as you know, just include them. I know my ex-sister-in-law, you know, she used to have her kids helping her cook. So they were included in the activities. You know, there's a lot of people that include their kids. So that's what I would say, you know, follow these things. If you don't think you have time, contact Rico and he will help you because it's too important to just keep going, being unaware and unconscious. And then all of a sudden you get sick and then you're like, crap, why, you know, can I have a do-over? No, this is your do-over right now. You know, contact Rico. What is it again? Ageless Living
Lifestyle. AgelessLivingLifestyle.com.
Yeah. So contact him and he can help you. He can help you make the time. We all get 24 hours in a day. And, you know, he, that's his commitment, and he wants us to have a better planet, a healthier planet. So, all right, Rico. So in closing, what would you like, if this worked, if everybody was ageless living, you know, if everybody had an ageless living lifestyle, how do you see the world in, let's say, 5 years? This catches on and everybody's doing it. How do you see that the world would be?
Well, I think it would be a much more healthy, not only healthy, but it would be a much more prosperous and enjoyable world to live in. Because again, as more people have more, better health and more energy, and they can use their creativity and their particular talents to progress as human beings and learn that we're all, again, as we're all brothers and sisters on this planet. And if we just cooperate, you don't have to like everybody, but we have to respect everybody. And we have to realize that we come from the same source. And that if we just share the wealth and the knowledge and be respectful and helpful to each other, what an amazing world it could be. How enjoyable could it be? I mean, just for your own personal enjoyment, how much better could it be? We get rid of all the fear and the divisiveness and all this stuff that's still going on out there. And we move forward and this is what we're here for. I think the creative source, or however you want to think of it, God or however that is, that decided to create this planets and this universe and let us be come into this physical body. That's the whole game plan, is to learn how to do that. And it's so exciting when we realize that that's what's possible. And so the last thing I want to say is, everybody will say, oh, that sounds really good, but it's never going to happen. So if that's your mindset, you're part of the problem instead of part of the solution. So change your mindset and let's make it happen.
That's right. And if you can't do it alone, it's okay. You know, you've lived your whole life the way you're living, but Rico can help you. And just go to, what, say it again, agelesslivinglifestyle.com. And Rico is committed to helping you. He won't judge you. You know, he knows, you know, how hard it is to change, and that's okay. But if you're committed to your children, your life, your health, then definitely contact him, because he's a master. And at 82, he's got the fitness of a 35-year-old. That's amazing, right? All right. Any last words?
Well, the last word is, you can do it. And so just step up and just do it.
Let's do it. Nike. All right. Thank you so much. I love your message. I love your passion. And just thank you for being with us and for sharing this with the world.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.